which is surpasses all understanding. You know, the mental aspect, the mind, it cannot. There's a peace which does not come from, like, well, just knowing things. It's just he gives it. Some things come by feeling. I mean, there's feelings. It's not everything is... You know, I am a person who at one time in my life, I looked at Christianity as this sort of intellectual pursuit that had no real application in my life. Why? Because the righteousness of God was merely imputed. See, I believe in the imputation of righteousness by the faith of the believer. But what I don't believe is that that's it. You know? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And God actually caused Sarah to have a son. So I'm believing in God, not for a son, but for Christ to be formed in me. That's the child I want to be born. So I obviously, believing him, it's imputed to me for righteousness, but to truly have Christ formed in me, I have to become righteous. I don't know, why did I bring that up? Well, the peace of God comes. I honestly can't remember why I brought that up. I could stop the thing and go back and look and cheat, but I'm not gonna. You know what? You probably know why I brought it up, and you're probably laughing at me, but that's fine. It's like I'm honestly always surprised at how well I'm able to maintain thought through these studies, because I'm usually such a scatterbrained person. I mean, my thoughts run everywhere. And still, I mean, you're probably saying, well, Paul, that's... Yeah, we noticed. You're all over the place. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That, hey, that's the truth. It comes. The peace of God. He sends it. And you have it, or you don't. You know, when we pray to him in faith, asking the things that we ought to ask, doubting nothing, when the doubt is that, I think when we doubt nothing, and that also is something that's like a gift, because it's like, yeah, you start off with a lot of doubts. I did. I think that's what the reason I brought that up is because I always looked at Christianity as this intellectual pursuit. Yes, now I remember. and because... You know, and that it was this seeking. It wasn't, you know, about actual righteousness, it was about this imputation of righteousness. And I was never expected to truly be righteous. It was all things I did in my mind, all works I did in my mind. I believe that I would ask forgiveness and believe I was forgiven, and I would, you know, do this and that and that and that. And it's like, but I didn't have to actually, but I could still just fornicate, and I could still be a drunkard, and I could still smoke as much pot as I wanted to. And you know what? Here's a funny thing. That was my intellectual belief. But there's something told me, beyond understanding, that it was so wrong. The drugs and the alcohol were ruining my life. I was so fearful that those things would eventually ruin my children's lives. Or they definitely, as long as I was in those sins, there was a great potential that my children would also be caught up in them. Great potential, because it works like that very often. I also knew that if my children saw me stop, my kids know I used to smoke, and they know I used to be into drugs, because I told them. Because I want them to know. I was like, that was one of the hardest things ever. It's the worst. I talk to them about it all the time. You're a fool if you don't talk to your kids about these things. I don't want them to know because blah, 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 blah. It's, you don't know nothing. But I knew deep down. There are things that pass understanding. And the wisdom we think we have. Feelings. There's a knowledge that comes intuitively. This is wrong. And I didn't look to the scriptures because I didn't want to be condemned in it. I didn't want to look and see, you know, be sober-minded. And I'd see things in the scriptures about that. And I'd be like, well, it's, you know what? Being drunk in the flesh is one thing, but when you're drunk in the spirit, and you're led into apostasy, well, that's real sin. Yeah, excusing myself. As if there's any difference between being drunk in the spirit and being drunk in the flesh. You're still drunken. Just like adultery in the spirit and adultery in the flesh. It's like, yeah, well, it has different repercussions on your family, obviously. Literal adultery and adultery of the eyes, obviously. But it's still sin. It's still definitely a detriment to your life, you know. It still harms your soul. It still prevents you from being the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's like drunkenness. Yeah, I could stop being drunken in the flesh and still in my mind, I have a sort of a drunkenness about the way I go through doctrine and so on and so forth, and I can't see the word and I'm vomiting. And this is the way a lot of preachers are. They're not drunkards of the flesh, but they're drunkards of the spirit. And I saw this. You know, all their tables are full of vomit. And I look at them and I say, oh, those are sinners. But then eventually I realized it was true. It's like, how could I excuse myself and accuse them? So I came to the point where I saw, I'm like, I'm not going to judge them because I just condemn myself. And so I wallowed into this total mire of just being stuck. Drug addict, drunkard, fornicator of the mind. Thank God. He's always put adultery very far from me. I've always known it's like, yeah, that's very far from me. Like actual. Spiritual drunkenness, yeah, you know, it hurts, but it's like, it's not the same as when you're literally drunk. Your children really suffer. Something with the spiritual adultery. You know, spiritual adultery is when you are supposed to be Christ, but you follow after another God. And really, now I see, I used to think it was like, oh, the rapture and stuff like that. Yeah, the false doctrine is definitely a sin, but it's not just heresy. It's all those sins. All those sins are like adultery against the true Christ, against our husband, who has called us to what? To glory and virtue. Verse 8, he says, you know, he wants us to think on the true things, honest things, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praise, you know, thanksgiving, all these good things. You know, it's not supposed to be, covetousness, lust, fornication, greediness, food.